Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hello, and welcome to episode 321 of the Mom Hour. I am Megan Francis, here with Sarah Powers. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Megan. I feel like 321 is like, we're going to blast off. It's like 321.
I was just thinking that 321 contact. Remember that show?
Yes, I do. Yes. I actually know that one.
I feel like that might age us a bit, but maybe they brought it back. I don't really know if that show is still around. I feel like it had gone through two incarnations by the time I was a kid. Like, it had already been for like 60s and 70s kids and then came back
in
the 90s.
Do you feel like they showed it in schools? I feel like my memory of 321 contact would be like they'd show a little video. Not that it was made for schools. I don't think it was, but that my teachers, because it was educational, right?
It was. I believe it was about science.
I think so. So that's what my memory of it is, actually probably watching it on a taped VHS in elementary school, which, by the way, for the record, we don't try to hide that we're old. We just are here in our oldness to impart wisdom about something
like parenting. But here's the thing. The funny thing is, today's topic has nothing to do with educational programming. It has nothing to do with science. It's not even really that parenting related, except it is. We're talking about kids' clothing. And I actually think this is one of those topics that feels a little fluffy and frivolous, but can be a source of much pleasure and joy,
yeah,
or frustration when you have little kids, babies, toddlers. And especially for me, I felt like the frustration really started like in the preschool years.
Yes.
And we're going to dive into that more. And I just am curious, Sarah, you know, again, we've just shared that we're kind of old and our kids are getting older. What is the state of fashion in your kids' lives right now?
Yeah, well, I'll do like the 30-second version. I have a 13-year-old who really went from being my easiest dresser in that she didn't have strong opinions about much of anything her entire childhood. And that's unusual because we know a lot of preschoolers get very opinionated, and she was the easiest dresser to the most opinionated, and definitely her own sense of style at 13, as one does, as is developmentally appropriate. And then my youngest, Violet's 8 and a half, but she's been strong opinioned about this since, I don't know, birth. Like, I stopped being able to dress her the way I wanted probably when she was like 18 months old. So that one I've dealt with the whole time. And then Reed is pretty easy, but he's growing very quickly. So in the middle, I would say I'm dealing with more like growing out of things and like having a hard time keeping up with the sizes. And then at either end, the bookends, the girls are just have a lot of opinions and I can't necessarily shop for them. That's different. When you get to a point where you can't necessarily just shop for your own kids, I think that's different. How about you?
Totally. And it's funny because I had the same experience with my boys. Like, they would just wear whatever I gave them for a very, very long time. And because I had 4 boys, there were so many hand-me-downs in the mix. It was very, very simple. And we'll dive into the specifics a little bit later, but their outfits were super simple. And Clara got so many hand-me-downs for years. And she was fine, like with whatever. She was actually more particular about not wanting to give things away. That was
I remember you.
She never
that.
Wanted to like give away her outgrown clothing, and still has a hard time with that. But she didn't really care too much about what she wore. And if the stuff in her drawers didn't make her happy, she just didn't wear that thing. But she had plenty to wear, and it was fine. She's recently gotten much more opinionated and is dressing much more like, I don't know what you would even call it, like 90s. Goth or something, mm-hmm, or punk. Mm-hmm. It's like a very kind of like baggy, dark look, mm-hmm, which is kind of adorable on her, but now she's really particular. And so she hates everything. So I think what's happening, and we can talk about this a little bit more in the episode, but I think she's realizing she has opinions, mm-hmm, but she doesn't actually know what those opinions are just yet.
Yes. And I actually remember that at that age. And Allegra, for those who don't know, Allegra is 1 year older. My oldest is 1 year older than your youngest, Megan, both girls. And so we compare notes a lot. And I have seen the same in Allegra, to the point where like the musical stars she loves and follows do a lot of like vintage and thrift store shopping. And so she said, can we go to the thrift store? Can we go? And I remember doing the same. I actually shopped at thrift stores a lot in junior high. But then it's like we get there and she doesn't She doesn't know what to do with, like, you know, 4,000 pieces of other people's old clothes. It's like she knows she wants something kind of alternative and different and a little thrift store look, as did I when I was that age. So I love it. I support it. But then it's like, wait, but I'm not sure what I actually want. I just know I want to look like I shopped at a thrift store. And there's many ways to do that.
That's so funny because Clara just went with her cousin Cecily, who is much older than her. She's Jacob's age. So the two of them are, well, she's a year older than Jacob. So the two, Clara and Cecily, are like 12 years apart, but they like to hang out with each other.
I love it.
They always go to a thrift store in Lansing when we visit them. And they went and Clara bought a t-shirt that she's worn, I think, every day since she bought it. And it's just a t-shirt. It's got like some kind of cool slogan or something on the front, like a print. She's not really into slogans. But I just think it's so funny because I'm like, okay, so you went to a thrift store. You were so excited to go. But then the thing you bought was a black t-shirt that I could have probably bought you anywhere. And that's fine. She's learning. And that's one thing about style and fashion that I also am drawn to certain things. Like, I'm drawn to vintage. Personally, I'm drawn to certain styles. But like, I don't have the creativity to necessarily pull it off or to really understand what I want. Mm-hmm. So it feels like I still flail around and I'm 43 years old.
Yes. So, no, it's a very, I have a lot of empathy for this 12, 13 year old age that they're in right now. And I have very specific memories of wanting the same thing, wanting something that was busting out of however I had dressed as a child, but not knowing how to get that look and not even really knowing what I wanted, except that it was different than childhood.
Right. Well, and I think one thing that's so interesting about where we both are with our kids is that it's so different from when we had to choose everything for them and we could essentially make them like our little accessories and like pass off whatever we thought was our aesthetic on them. So when we come back from the break, we're going to dive right into that. Like when they were babies, toddlers, preschoolers, when we got to choose, how did they dress and what do we remember about that time? And I think that'll be really fun. And I'm sure there's going to be, even though that was kind of a long time ago for both of us, I'm sure there are some parallels between what newer moms today are going through.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Sarah, I have really been on a healthy eating, healthy living kick lately. I'm logging 10,000 or more steps every day, getting in a run or two each week, and I'm trying to put good fuel in my body. And one thing that has made it so much easier was adding the superfood powder from our sponsor, Athletic Greens, to my morning routine. Starting my morning with that weird-looking green drink just really helps to set me up for a healthier day.
Oh, I totally know what you mean. And it does look a little weird. As you know, my kids call it my swamp water. But it's surprisingly tasty and totally packed with great-for-you nutrients. Each scoop of Athletic Greens superfood powder includes a multivitamin, a multimineral, pre- and probiotics, digestive enzymes, adaptogens, a greens complex, immune support, B-complex, and more.
Right. When you add Athletic Greens to your daily routine, you really don't need any separate supplements. Athletic Greens does it all. And those adaptogens you mentioned are particularly helpful in addressing stress and anxiety, which can be kind of like a staple of mom life, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, Athletic Greens is offering our listeners a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs of the superfood powder with your first purchase. I will definitely be taking those travel packs with me when I'm traveling later this month. Just go to athleticgreens.com/momhour and they'll set you up with that great deal. Again, it's athleticgreens.com/momhour to get your free year's supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs of superfood powder today.
Sarah, you know how I usually feel about flip-flops, right? I honestly haven't really bothered with them at all because I often feel like I have to work really hard to keep them on my feet and they just never seem that comfortable. Until, drum roll, I tried the Ashton flip-flops from our sponsor, Vionic. These are seriously comfy shoes with built-in arch support, and they easily stay on without me having to do that weird, like, scrunch up your toes thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
I have been keeping them by the back door so I can slip them on when I'm going out in the pool deck, and then I can just easily kick them off when I come back in the house.
Well, Megan, I guess I'm not surprised because seriously, every Vionic shoe I've ever worn has been so comfortable. Vionic's podiatrist-designed footbed means that no matter which style you choose, your feet will be supported at the heel, arch, and the ball of your foot. And Vionic has a ton of styles to choose from, everything from heels and wedges to flats and flip-flops, plus active sneakers and even slippers. This summer, and actually since back in the spring, I've been living in my Malibu slip-on style sneakers, which are this pretty kind of dusty rose. And I actually machine washed them recently and they cleaned up so beautifully. So they still look brand new months later.
Oh, I love that. Well, Vionic offers a 30-day wear test, which means you can try out a pair of their shoes risk-free. You can return for any reason, even if you've worn them outside, which is such a great deal. And we have another great deal for you. Just head to vionicshoes.com and use the code THEMOMHOUR for free shipping all year long. Again, it's VIONICshoes.com and the code is THEMOMHOUR. Okay, Sarah, so let's talk about the many stages of our kids' fashion choices or us choosing their fashion. And let's just start at the beginning. So let's talk about how we dress them as babies and toddlers and however long you were able to get through the preschool years before they started, you know, wanting to dress themselves. And I guess I would say, let's start with the cutest outfits you can remember. And for me, I just have to say baby jeans are the most ridiculous yet most adorable thing. And I also had baby overalls, like denim overalls for a couple of my babies. And they're ridiculous because babies don't have waists. No. So they can't really hold up a pant situation with like a fly. But there's still something so adorable about like zipping up and buttoning a fly over like a little round baby belly. Uh-huh. It's just like, it's ridiculous. It's so cute. And same with overalls. Like they're so clunky and like, no matter how small you make the overalls, the basic hardware on the overall is can only get so small to still work. So you've got this baby in these like overall jeans or pants or whatever, but they have these huge clunky, like the thing that holds the, you know, the strap or whatever in place. And I just think they're so stinking cute. How about you? What is the cutest thing you remember?
I mean, well, I'm nodding along to all of this, but I'm realizing that there's like, the things that are cute on the hanger that you cannot resist. Right. You know it's not practical, but you cannot resist. And then there are the things you end up dressing your kids in every day, which I know we're going to dig into that too. But I just remember, I mean, the tinier it was, the cuter it was. And so I have very specific memories of we had Babies R Us and they had a lot of clothes. I don't know if Babies R Us always had a lot of clothes, but I remember going right to the newborn rack at Babies R Us or Carter's. And basically like almost what made it cute to me was the size. And and yet the newborns are the least inspiring to dress because they spit up and poop constantly and they're always squished up in you're swaddling them or they're in a sleep or like they're not you can't show off a newborn in their outfit really. So my memory is being drawn to impractical tiny ensembles, whether it was like a dress with a matching headband or like you said, overalls or jeans.
Like a three-piece like vest. I remember Isaac had like a three-piece thing. It was like a white button-down shirt. Little tiny khakis, that was like with flannel lining. Oh, these are from Gymboree, and a little sweater vest. And I think I have one photo of him wearing that because it was so ridiculous to get it on and off of him.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think the bottom line for me was the cutest outfits I remember were cute because they were so tiny, and yet those were the ones that, like you said, were barely worn. I know we'll talk about toddlers later, but I actually love dressing like an 18-month-old because those are the ones who are actually like a miniature human because they're upright.
Yeah.
They can walk and but they still have the babiness. So I don't know. I guess if I had a favorite baby age to dress, it's not the tiniest. It's like the littlest toddlers, like your 12 to 18-month-olds. But
that is very cute. I'm curious if you have like, you know, outside of the impractical types of outfits like we just talked about, if you have some that actually did work, and I have one very specific memory. So my sister's kid, so Mario is 30 now, which makes him 7 years older than Jacob.
Okay.
And he has two younger sisters. So they're, I want to say Cecily's a year older than Jacob and Aaron's like 4 years older than Jacob. And so my sister got some really cute Baby Gap sleepers. They were just soft cotton that Mario, Aaron, and Cecily wore. Then Jacob, Isaac and William wore them. And then I passed them back to my sister for Quinn. I don't think I got them back after that, but they were, I can so clearly remember them. One was like a green and white stripe with these mustard cuffs. And one was a red print. And we have photos of like multiple of our kids in them. And I just love knowing that like seven different kids in the same family wore those. And maybe at some point they were passed back to me. I just don't really remember. I don't remember putting like Clara in them. I may have, I just don't remember. They were probably by that point were shot and pooped upon and stuff. But it's so fun to see that. And like, what great quality that those were like the diehards. Like we wore those, my kids wore those all the time. Because, you know, once you kind of get out of that, the stage where they're wearing the long gowns with the elastic bottoms you can pull up. Like once you don't need that anymore, they kind of do live in sleepers.
Yeah.
And those sleepers made it through 2 to 3 months, depending on how big my babies were. So I just love that I have that memory.
I love that. And my memory of Baby Gap in 2007, 2008 was that it just felt like a step up of quality. And I have no idea. I mean, you and I, we started the show talking about how we're old. We are not here to give advice on the latest and greatest baby brands. But my memory was that Baby Gap, remember the tiny teddy bear, like embroidered kind of logo? And I just remember their fabrics feeling just really high quality and like a little thicker cotton and just like the dyes and the colors were nice. So it doesn't surprise me that those kind of made it all the way through. So right. I love that.
Yep.
So for me, keeping in mind that I had Arizona babies and my first two babies were born in April and June, meaning they were tiny in our very long summer. It doesn't get cool till like Christmas, maybe. So I dressed little babies in very few layers. So even like one, that's another reason why those outfits and overalls and dresses and stuff were just silly, because you had a hot baby in a hot car and a hot car seat. So very simple onesies and sleepers and rompers for the girls. When I think of a romper, I just think of basically like a onesie. It would still have a snap crotch, but the butt area had a little more material going on. Do you know what I mean? Like bloomery. I guess it's like, it's more like a bloomer bottom.
It wasn't, it was like an outfit. So you could put a baby in something that had no legs essentially, but it didn't look like they were in their underwear.
Exactly. And so that started to really become more of a cute style, like more Violet's age. And it just felt like a finished piece, but it was still all one piece, like a onesie. And like you said, it was still like no legs to deal with, because I was in Arizona. It was very hot. And even when it wasn't hot, it was warm. By Violet, one of my favorite go-tos was Tea Collection. And there, I just felt like that aesthetic was so like on point for me. And they had a ton of those rompers and longs and sleepers. And one of my favorite things they had were outfits for girls, probably boys too, but I had a girl the third time, where the legs were long, but the sleeves were short. And that's unusual to find. So it would be like for a little baby or toddler in the seasons where long pants were fine, still in a soft, cool cotton, but not long sleeves. So it didn't have the feeling of pajamas or sleepers. It had the feeling of a finished outfit, but it was all one. And I still like, that's one of my favorite, like, memories is a couple of those that we had.
So I feel like I must have, I'm thinking back to the age that Clara was when she had Tea Collection stuff. I know that I worked with them in some way, but it must have been when I was blogging. It must have been pre-podcasting, because
Clara, I kind of remember like that too,
or something. And we had a whole Tea Collection collection and it was amazing, because she wore that stuff for years. Like, she wore it from the time it was a long dress. She had like the she had like a cross top dress.
Yes, I remember
like purple
that.
Purple with like yellow flowers on it. She had a couple, but the leggings just turned into capris. And then they just turned into like, you know, kind of like short, like just below the knee shorts, right? And and then the dress went from being a long dress to being kind of a tunic to being a top. And she was truly able to wear that stuff for until she was like 6 or 7. And the funny thing is, I bet she still is hoarding it in her bedroom, because I know it was her favorite, and I'm guessing she probably just couldn't let it go. So that was a great, that was one of those where I wished I had a baby. By the time I discovered Tea Collection, I think Clara was 3 or 4, but I kind of wished I had a baby to put in those clothes.
I want you to look at this link I just popped in our outline. That's the Lingonberry print romper. This is what I'm talking about when it's short sleeves, but romper length. And all of their fabrics are so, can you imagine like a 9-month-old, our favorite age, like an 8 or 9-month-old in that?
Okay, we have to put that in the show notes.
We will.
People need to see that.
People are like, enough with your baby nostalgia, ladies.
Your old babies. Your babies aren't even fresh. They're old. But their stuff was so, so cute. Okay, so that brings me to this question, Sarah, which is like, when you were in control, and I guess that is the theme of the first half of this episode, is mom's in control, or mom and dad are in control of everything baby wears. And then the next half is going to be about when we lose control. But anyway, did you have a specific aesthetic when you were dressing your babies?
I think I did. And I think when I was thinking about this, it almost starts with what I didn't love. I didn't love dressing babies as tiny adults. I mean, your 3-piece suit for Isaac aside, and some of these just adorable, like almost silly outfits, but right. On an everyday basis, I didn't like anything that made it seem like you were trying to make your baby look like a teenager. There was a lot of that going on when I had my first baby, where it was like juicy couture, like velour sweats and stuff, trying to make them look, or a lot of like, you know, things with like rhinestones and sparkles. It's not the aesthetic now. So you all listening don't have to worry about this, but there was something that turned me off about, it wasn't that it was over-sexualized or anything to that extreme. It was just, it didn't feel like wholesome, pure baby goodness. So I guess one of my aesthetics was a more like toned down, natural look for babies and even toddlers. It didn't love a lot of like licensed character stuff or ironic slogans. There's a few exceptions. I had a couple onesies that said something funny on them, and I can get behind. We've talked about this with adult clothing. I can get behind your occasional slogan tee, but it's always going to be in very limited qualities. Everything else kind of makes me roll my eyes. So those were the things I didn't like. And that left me with really kind of classic, clean looks. You know, I was trying to shop affordably. So a lot of times it was Carter's, or it was the consignment store, tea collection sales. But even within those, I was going for things that didn't have a lot of words, didn't have a lot of like large animals on them, were a little bit more like maybe stripes and polka dots, solids and prints, soft cotton, soft fabrics, and things that kind of could look like they're from any time period. That's kind of like my aesthetic.
So no surprise here. I think we had a very similar aesthetic. I really liked clean, classic, basic stuff. Sometimes that I still went to the silly side, like we talked about with the khakis and the baby jeans and all that stuff. But for the most part, I liked my babies to be dressed simply and without a lot of, one thing that was really frustrating, and I'll talk about this a little bit more when we talk about preschoolers, but with my older boys in those days, like boys' clothing was awful. It was like all bears and balloons and trucks and balls. Like everything had to have some kind of insignia on it that seemed to say, this is a boy. Like, which it was so stupid. I was like, can I just put a t-shirt on this kid? Yeah. Like, why does everything have to have some kind of a cartoon or like an indicator? And things have gotten so much better in that regard, but I didn't like that stuff. And I would find myself working really hard at the time to find clothing that didn't feature those things. Which brings me to this question, which is about first outfit memories. And I'll just go first on this one. Man, I had the hardest time picking out first outfits. And what I mean by first outfits, I did have 4 home births. So it wasn't like a taking home the baby from the hospital outfit. So it wasn't literally their first actual outfit that they wore, but it was kind of like their coming out outfit.
Yes, I know what you mean.
It's like the one you'd put on like on the second day or something. And I went through a lot of effort to find just the right thing. So I was always looking for like a classic, like understated, I wanted it to look like something a baby in the 50s would have worn home from the hospital. And that was really hard to find. And I was not working with a huge budget, but I spent a lot of money. Like I went to like kind of expensive baby boutiques to find these things because I really wanted it. So I wound up with like these sweater sleepers. So I believe Will's was a 2-piece. It was like sweater, and it was like little sweater pants and a little sweater cardigan that went over like a little cotton top. And Clara, I believe, had something with ruffles on the butt because, you know, she was my girl. And so I kind of went a little crazy with the pink ruffles. But I just was always looking for something that had a very specific, like my parents would have had this in their going home from the hospital outfit. And it's hard to find, at least in those days, it was very hard to find. There was a lot of cutesy crap. There was a lot of very casual stuff, but it was really hard to find this truly classic outfit. So anyway, how about you?
Okay, well, I totally know what you mean about both it being hard to find. And also I wonder if this coming out or coming home outfit is still a thing and has become less of a thing. So my mom's family actually has a little, it's like a little robe, like a newborn robe, almost like the look of like a christening robe. But this is a newborn home embroidered piece that's from when my mom and her sisters were little. And at one point that was being passed around to various members of my family. And I think with Allegra, I didn't end up with it. And it's not super practical to even put a baby in a car seat with, but we tried to take a couple pictures of my babies in it. But the girls did have, I do have a memory for both my girls, and it was just the simplest, a wrap long sleeve top, because I remember reading that, like, because of the umbilical cord, if you're going home from the hospital, like, you're not going to want to put a onesie that's going to rub up against it. So I was like, took that very much to heart and looked for the kind of kimono wrap long sleeve. And it was a very, very pale, like mauve pink, like a very understated pink. And it had a little bit of ruffling at the sleeves and the hem, but like very subtle and soft. I don't remember where I got it, but I do remember loving it. And then the pants were just like kimono pajama pants. So it felt like an outfit, but it was essentially the same type of pajamas you would send, you know, any newborn home from the hospital in. Yeah. And then while you were talking about the boys, I was like, I don't even remember what Reed wore home from the hospital. And I quickly just looked in my Google photos real quick, because that's how quick you can search in Google photos. I just searched for his birth, like his birthday. And it looks like he's just wearing like a wrap, not a hospital issue, because the ones they issue you in the hospital are, they're thin and they're kind of like weirdly sized. My babies were pretty small and they're kind of like generically sized. So they were too big even for my babies. But he's wearing basically a white wrap kimono long sleeve where the sleeves fold over, and it looks like he's just wearing like navy blue cotton pants. I don't think he had a coming home outfit, but just like you, I think I did think about it. So to answer the question, I did think about it with the girls. I did love that little two piece, pajama set, and I was going for, umbilical freedom and softness.
I love that. Umbilical, free the umbilicus, right? Well, okay. So we talked a lot about babies, and I guess that's a great way for us to kind of segue into talking about older kids. And we kind of already hinted, like, the theme again is when we controlled things. And you talked about, you know, the fact that some of those like really cute outfits really became more cute when they were toddlers. I'm wondering if you can think back to hand-me-downs that like hurt you to put away for the last time. So when you knew the bell had rung. And so you had girl, boy, girl. And I'm wondering if that kind of meant that the clothes went away for a little while and maybe not all of them came back out. And I had, you know, a bunch of boys and a girl, which kind of threw off like the calculus on the whole, like, when does actually something get put away for the last time? Because not all of the boys' clothes wound up in Clara's drawers, though some did. But I have a couple specific memories. The first one that pops into my head is that we had this ridiculous Star Wars golf shirt. And it was like color blocked, like gray and blue. And it was a teeny, I want to say it was like 18 month size, maybe 2T. Mm-hmm. And it was like a little collared shirt and it had R2-D2 on it. Now what's very unusual about that is I didn't buy a lot of slogan stuff and I really didn't like to buy things that had branding or whatever on them. But for whatever reason, got that for Jacob. And every single one of my kids wore it and it really held up like really, really well. And so every single child wore it. And that one was really hard for me to put away, like very, very hard. There were other outfits like the little khakis I mentioned earlier with the plaid flannel lining inside. Those were hard to put away, too. But because they were 3 to 6 month size, each kid only wore them maybe twice.
Right.
They didn't get a lot of wear. That R2-D2, like that shirt, every kid wore it so many times because that 18 to two, like month 2T, that gets a lot of wear.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Like a little, like a skinnier toddler can wear it until they're 3. Or a bigger baby can start wearing it when they're 12 months. So that sort of sizing gets a lot of use. And I feel like those were the hand-me-downs for me that were the hardest to get rid of, not because I cared that much about the outfit itself, but because I saw it on multiple children so many times that it just associated me with that time of their lives.
Yes, totally. It's funny. I am very sentimental about hand-me-downs and I've been part of, I don't have the succession of boys like you do, or even cousins in the area, but I still landed with some pretty good hand-me-down situations. A family friend that gave a bunch of stuff to Allegra that then became Violet's. And then in our neighborhood, we had a lot of hand-me-downs. And I'm sentimental on both ends. Like when people give me clothes, I get so excited to like carry on. Like, I don't know. I'm just in general, I attach a lot of meaning and I have a lot of very specific memories around clothes. And then you asked, was there one hand-me-down that was extra hard to put away? And then I thought, no, it's almost like I have just like we talk about amalgam memories. Like I have a general nostalgia for the incoming and outgoing outgrown outfits. So to answer your question, yeah, girl, boy, girl did mean that I was more judicious about what I saved from Allegra to Violet. They're 4.5 years apart, but Allegra was so tall and big for her age that she was wearing like 2 sizes ahead always, which means in sizes, they were more like 6 sizes apart because Violet was relatively average size. I did save stuff and there are still bins in my garage. Violet's wearing like a size 8 right now. She always wears kind of her age. And there are still bins in my garage that'll say like Allegra 10 to 12 and we'll get it out. And so I do pass down from the girls, but not as many things through all three. So it's a little different probably than the way it worked in your family. I would say sleepers with where it zips all the way up. So the kind of pajamas that my kids wore when they were anytime from walking to probably 2.5 or 3. And it was almost always Carter's and it was almost always the Carter's from Costco because they were extra affordable. And sometimes it would be the micro fleece or the fleeciness. And instead of you didn't have to do like a ton of overnight diaper changes at this stage. So there weren't like the crotch snaps. It was more the zipper that went from like the base of their ankle all the way up. And we'd have them in a bunch of different patterns. And I just remember feeling really sad when nobody in my house was wearing those kind of footy pajamas. Ironically, now, of course, we have like the giant footy pajamas that can go all the way up to adult sizes. But that was sad when nobody was wearing footy sleepers. That was a sad day in my house.
Yeah. I'm also, when you mentioned that, I was thinking about one piece of outerwear because all of my boys were fall babies or like very early winter babies. Well, technically, they were all fall. I guess even December was technically fall, although it feels like winter.
Meteorologically
here.
Fall.
Right, exactly. But they all had this like baby bag, like one of those fleece baby bags, you know, with like the seatbelt, not the seatbelt thing, with the car seat hole in it.
Yes.
I wonder if those are still a thing. I'm going to guess that they are, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know what people.
This is where my like
days.
Arizona and California, like
you're
I have
no, help,
no
right?
experience keeping babies.
But you know what
warm
I'm talking about? They were like these, and we had like a really nice navy blue one. I don't even think it had arms. I think it was literally like you just put your baby in a sack, and then you put your sacked baby into a car seat and buckle them in because they don't have any arms at that. They don't need to do anything with their arms. They're just like in this little this little cocoon. And that was hard because. Even though I did hang on to it for a little while after Owen, but Clara would never have used it because she was a spring baby. So that's the other thing about having multiple kids. Sometimes certain nostalgic clothing pieces never get to get reused because season is off or the size of the kid is off.
And that gets better the older they get because you're not growing in and out of things in like 8 weeks, like in the early days.
Okay. So let's wrap up this half of the episode just talking about frustrations. And you can go first on this if you want, but like, did you have any frustrating memories about trying to dress little kids again when it was you in charge?
Yeah. So I have to say, as a first-time mom of a girl who had a lot of friends with little girls, I was completely the odd duck of my friend group who had a preschool-aged girl who didn't care about tutus, didn't care about having you know, Ariel on her dress or Elsa on her dress, didn't have an opinion about what she wore that day. I could pick her clothes and dress my first preschooler and all the way through. She got a little picky about fabrics later, but not till first or second grade, where then it was more about the comfort and the feel of the fabric. But in terms of fashion and style, and I knew I was in the minority because I had friends whose children and especially girls just had very... They would have battles about what they could wear or could I wear this again or I don't want to wear a coat or I only want to wear tutus. My one friend, Nicole, Aubrey would only wear things that she deemed tutus, including nightgowns. And she'd like cry when she got out of the bath because she didn't have a tutu on. Like I knew this was pretty common and I just didn't go through it. Well, I got my dues later or whatever with Violet, who was very opinionated. So, you know, one struggle or just frustration, I think, can be the battles or the control issues that happen over clothing. And I think that's super common. With Violet, it was one part fashion and then a lot sensory. And I've talked about that on the show because she was a preschooler, you know, while we were doing this podcast. And it was the feel of shoes. So shoes were really hard. I know you're going to say you spent money on shoes too, but I was just trying to find shoes she would wear and not complain about. She never wore socks. She always wanted to go without socks, which we lived in Southern California. So it wasn't a temperature issue, but it was a stinkiness issue and a like dirty foot issue. So lots of battles about just finding comfort in clothing and finding things she'd want to wear. And then I have such an aversion to like wasting money and spending money on stuff that doesn't get used that was hard for me. So those are like my frustrations are mostly around like battles of wills and mostly with Violet.
Okay. I love it. Okay. So I'm going to talk mostly about my boys because with Clara, like I mentioned, she just wore whatever I put on her. She didn't care. And I had no frustrations with her because she had older cousins. Mm-hmm. And just like, also, I feel like maybe we had a family friend or something who was, oh no, it was Jenna's sister's kids had great clothes. So her two daughters had amazing clothing. And so Clara not only got Ruby's stuff, but she got these other two very stylish girls. We had so many clothes. It was just like an embarrassment of clothing for Clara. And she wore whatever. So that was like actually great. For the boys, I remember having like a couple very specific frustrations. One, and I mentioned already, like the ball, the bear, the truck, like having to have everything on it or like some kind of insignia or some kind of cartoon on it. Well, where that got really frustrating was I feel like when my boys were little, we went to kind of a lot of events, like a lot of weddings, a lot of baptisms, a lot of like, I don't know, someone's special day at church for whatever the thing was. And all I wanted to find for them was like a plain colored golf shirt and khakis. That's it. Like, it should be so easy. And it is for older boys. You can find that stuff because they have school uniforms. So if you know, it's like a kindy and up aged kid, it's pretty easy to find like a simple, you know, golf shirt and khakis. For little boys, like 2 to 4, it was very difficult, at least back in those days. And I wasn't going to like, you know, sometimes I go to the Baby Gap or something and I could find it. But most of the time I just like, can I just go to Target and find this? Yeah. Or like, can I just go someplace easy and find these things? And they were very hard. It was just really hard to find simple, plain clothing that was dressy-ish, but not like overly dressy. And I do remember buying like these little three-piece, like not suits exactly, but like on a hanger would have everything. Like it would have like a little button-down shirt and like sometimes it would have suspenders and pants, but it was always very cheap. Like it was cheaply made. And I just would buy it anyway because I was like, well, that's all I can find.
It's like disposable clothing at that point.
It was essentially disposable clothing. It felt like it was made of the thinnest polyester.
Like the Halloween costumes that come in a bag.
Yes. And if you pulled a thread, the whole thing would fall apart. But it was going to get you through like one day at a wedding. So you'd go for it anyway. But along with that went shoes. Mm. And that was the real expense because you could buy those Halloween costume wedding outfits. But shoes cost what shoes cost. Yeah. There's no getting, you can't skimp on that. And so we spent so much money on dress shoes for those boys. They were never cheap. Like no matter how little they were always expensive. They would wear them for 2 months maybe and then grow out of them. Or maybe they'd only have one event to wear them in a year. And you would think, well, great, you had four boys. You could just pass them down. It just didn't really ever work that way. Either their sizing would be off or we could only find like the right shoe and not the left. Or they looked a lot alike. So like the pairs weren't right. Like the kids would grab the wrong ones and like put them away wrong. And I'd end up giving away like to Goodwill a pair that wasn't a pair. Like it'd be like one, you know, like a left size 3 and a right size 4 because they all looked identical. They were just like little dressy black shoes with laces or sometimes loafers. Anyway, I just feel like I just spent so much money on that kind of thing. And that was a big frustration that I did not experience with Clara. I do think for adults, men have it easier to dress than women. But I think for kids, girls have it easier than boys.
Yeah, for sure. In the shoe department, because I'm thinking, first of all, my babies and toddlers lived in a lot more casual and weather flexible environments than yours. You had winter and the Midwest, I think, is more formal about things like weddings and baptisms and church events and stuff. So number one. But number two, girls can just wear their sandals. And I lived in year-round sandal places. So I never remember buying a special pair of dress shoes for anybody. Reed was in my sister's wedding when I think he was five. And we got by with a little pair of slip-ons that were almost like dark gray Vans. But they were honestly, like they were
boat
like
shoes almost, right?
Almost like boat shoes. Yes. And yeah. Almost like a canvas, like a high-end canvas boat shoe sneaker. And he was almost six by that point. So I think I skated through very lucky. And I'm glad you aired that frustration, because that's one of the ways where our difference in geography and just like the environments we've raised our kids in is markedly different.
Well, I love that you mentioned the Vans or the slide-on, you know, like the boat shoes or like the slide-ons, because my older kids did start to kind of lean on that look and do now, for sure, mm-hmm. The boys. Like, they wear a lot of that, and you can really wear those to anything as long as it's weather appropriate.
Right.
You still can't wear a pair of canvas, you know, blue canvas boat shoes to a November event. Like, it just isn't going to work.
Yeah.
So, but I agree with you, too. If you had a little girl and you threw like a little dress on her and it could be her dirty flip-flops. And it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, she wore Crocs.
Right. It wouldn't matter because she's going to look cute and dressed up. But that's very different than trying to figure out what to put on a little, you know, a little boy. Like, he's got light-up, you know, Spider-Man sneakers or something. Yeah. It's not quite the same. And I think maybe I overthought it at times, too. But, you know, trying to be Midwest nice.
I know. And I'm just like, I have so much... For raising four tiny boys in the Midwest and clothing them and shoeing them the way you did in those times of your life, I just have a lot of love for you. Aww. It's like it is stressful.
It was a thing. It was a thing, and I tried. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
It was a thing, and I tried. That's my life slogan, my parenting slogan. Okay, well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're gonna talk about the transition to when our kids started having opinions.
Oh, boy.
And control over them, their own little bodies and their own little, you know, wardrobes and how that's all going, right? Okay, so we'll be right back.
So, Megan, my kids are getting bigger, which is awesome, but I do have little nieces and nephews on both sides, which is also awesome. I actually love being auntie, and I even more love getting to share with my sister and sister-in-law my favorite products for littles. And let me tell you, my sister is the biggest fan of our sponsor, Love Every.
Oh my gosh, Sarah, Love Every play kits and products almost make me wish I had a baby or toddler of my own again. But I like your strategy of being the cool aunt who bestows awesome stuff and then sleeps all night, right? Yeah. So Love Every play kits are a big box of toys, books, and activities beautifully curated and tailored to your child's exact learning stage. When you subscribe, the kits are delivered every few months along with a play guide that has tips for parents about why and how to interact with your little one using these beautiful toys.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that they're beautiful, Megan, because the baby and toddler toys back in our day were not this aesthetically pleasing. Love Every kits come with pretty storage boxes and baskets to help you contain everything, and it all looks clean and modern and lovely. As you start to accumulate more Love Every products, you'll see how they grow with your kids. So even my almost 4-year-old niece is still playing in new ways with the activities she got when she was 18 months. My sister said she's now counting and sorting with the same little pegboard activity that they've had for a couple years. And the hands-down favorite in the new box I just sent them is this cloth bag that contains high-quality, realistic plastic animals, along with these sturdy cards with pictures of the same animals. My 2-year-old niece can do her animal sounds, match the cards and animals together, or play make-believe with her sister.
Oh, I love that. And it reminds me how watching babies and toddlers, like, figure stuff out is such a cool part of being a mom. And the way Love Every designs their play kits, you can feel great about the toys you're bringing into your home, learn great stuff about child development from their expert play guides, and take the guesswork out of your child's play. Choose Love Every today and get free shipping when you sign up to receive your play kits at loveevery.com/themomhour. That's loveevery.com/themomhour for free shipping. loveevery.com/themomhour. Hey, Sarah, what's on your menu for the week?
Well, Megan, it's so hard because I can't seem to decide between roasted potatoes, potato salad, potatoes on the grill, smashed potatoes.
Okay, I'm sensing a little bit of a trend here. And our sponsor, Little Potato Company, is not making this choice any easier. But that's okay, because no matter what you choose, it's going to be delicious. Your family is going to love it. And here's the best thing. It's going to come together really easily.
Oh, yes, it will. Little potatoes are small and evenly sized, so they cook quickly and consistently no matter what variety you choose. And they also offer microwave kits, which come together with even less prep. You just pop the container in the microwave for 5 minutes, and each kit comes with a seasoning packet in flavors like garlic parsley and lemon and garlic herb. I like to toss that seasoning packet with a little bit of butter on my potatoes, and it is delicious.
I have long been a Little Potato Company fan, and no matter which version you buy, they are a game changer for quick summer dinners. You can find Little Potatoes in the produce section at stores like Walmart, Costco, and Sam's, and a lot of supermarkets. And if you aren't sure if your local grocery store carries them, visit littlepotatoes.com and click Where to Buy at the top of the page to find a store near you. Again, look for that Where to Buy button at littlepotatoes.com to find a store near you. Okay, Sarah, so you kind of mentioned that you've had, you know, some kids in your family who've never really had that much of an opinion about their clothes, and some that had them basically as young, like from the time they could say words and yes. point, right? So tell me, of your three kids, when each of them, if you can remember, started mm-hmm. having opinions and how that looked and like how that changed things for you.
Yeah, and because I mentioned it earlier, this will be quick, but Allegra didn't care at all. And then she cared a little bit about comfort fabrics and she never wanted to wear jeans because that was like too rough. And even that caring was really not till first or second grade. And then she wore a uniform. All three of my kids wore school uniforms. And for Allegra, the uniform years were third grade through sixth grade until COVID happened. And those would have been probably pretty formative style years. But when 5 days a week it's decided for you, she just on the weekends was like in leggings and a t-shirt. She really didn't care. So that's ages like, you know, 8 through 12 for her, still didn't care. And so only recently for her, and you were out visiting, you saw like there's a Billie Eilish thing going on, like a very right. like, you know, it's she looks like a teenager now, and she cares now. Reed really kind of all he cares about is comfort. And he's like in that athletic shorts phase, you know? So like I would say he still doesn't care, but that's not totally true. He has some favorite shirts and he really likes the more like sporty athletic fabrics, materials, which by the way, I have a very affordable 4-pack of athletic tees that I will link up in the show notes because they're kind of ridiculously cheap. I think it's like 4 for $20 or something. And they're his favorites. And I've literally gotten them in the next size up. And then Violet cared. Yes. Like you said, from the time that she could point and talk, and the thing we always say that she or repeat that she said when she was probably 2, She has a dresser in her room, and she had a lot of skirts and like pull on cute casual skirts, and I had them all in one drawer. So she had a drawer for like shorts and pants and then a drawer for skirts. And I just remember her saying, I'd like put on an outfit or I'd start pulling on clothes, and she'd go over and she'd go, "Where my girt drawer, mama? Where my girt drawer?" So she was asking where's my skirt drawer? Like which one? Where do I get the skirts? And we still say that sometime. Where my girt drawer, mama? So she cared from the beginning, and like I mentioned, hers was part comfort and part style. And I think that is relevant to mention because so many kids do have those sensory sensitivities where they may not care what they look like, but they care what the clothes feel like. And then if you have both, it's like a whole thing. But again, with uniforms, it was for Violet. I remember it most the couple years she was in preschool. Those are the years I remember the battles because she was old enough to have those strong opinions and she wasn't in a uniform yet. So it was a daily situation. How about you?
Well, I just have a question for that.
Like, yeah.
When you had those daily, battle situations, what did you do? Like, did you just say she wasn't going to school? She was home with you, or maybe you were running errands or whatever. Did you just say whatever patterns you want to put together, fine?
Oh, yeah.
Or did you have like some control, or like, what'd you do?
Oh yeah. I had no opinions about as long as it was like, weather appropriate and safe. And she was going to preschool part-time. So I always had a thing about shoes and hair, which is funny because I've let go of hair. I don't care anymore. But at the time, I wanted her hair pulled back from her face, like in a little half pony. And she had to have school appropriate shoes. She had to have closed-toed shoes. So those were the hills I was going to die on. And I did not care about the rest. And she actually put together cute outfits herself. So it was more the socks and shoes and like the finding yeah. things that were comfortable. And then if we had an event, so like a thing like my sister's wedding or things where I did have an outfit that I wanted her to wear, I would have to start thinking about that like way in advance and think about the like, I forget the mental gymnastics, like you always say, right. like Like, what do I, how much notice do I give her about what she's going to wear? How much, what other choices can I provide? Because this is not going to be a choice. And so I do remember a lot of mental gymnastics about that. But on the day to day, I did not care what she looked like. I just cared that she was dressed. And she also changed her clothes 14 times a day. And I know that's a common thing too. So the amount of laundry was bonkers.
I remember Clara going through some of that. She just wasn't particular. Like, she never complained if I put her outfit together, but she would also change very frequently. And I remember there being a lot of laundry and a lot of pieces just kind of strewn about. But she had so many pieces to work with. And I felt her pain because, like, if I had that many clothes, like if I had that many skirts and leggings of different lengths and, you know, cardigans and all that, like I would have a hard time choosing and then not going back and like re-choosing too. So I totally get it. And all of my kids did start having opinions about their clothing. I just feel like for the boys, it was a more like their opinion was a non-opinion, if that makes sense. Like they cared so little that their not caring started to become like caring. Like they didn't want me to have any opinion. I guess is the point. They cared so much that me having an opinion about what they wore felt oppressive to them.
Mm-hmm. And they want the aesthetic they were going for was, I don't care.
Exactly. So I guess that brings me to like, how did our kids dress in elementary or middle or high school? And how are they now? And so I polled my kids last night. This was actually kind of fun. I asked them what they remembered about how they dressed. And Jacob just said, well, when I was a kid, and I think this is so funny because it's so similar from kid to kid. Jacob said, when I was a little kid, the clothes I wore were just long sleeve t-shirts and hoodies. Isaac said, I wore a lot of pajamas. Owen and Will both said jeans, t-shirts, and hoodies. Now here's the thing. They're all still wearing essentially that. But I remember kids getting it like addicted to a certain hoodie and me having to say, could you at least wear it half unzipped at school so that people can tell you're wearing a different t-shirt underneath? So they don't actually think you're wearing literally the same thing every day. My kids also kind of didn't want to wear jeans after a certain point. So I'm going to say for each of them, it was like around 10 or 11 that I stopped buying them jeans because they preferred the feeling of like soft khakis, joggers, track pants. And in Isaac's case, literally pajamas. He wore pajamas to school for like a year and he got away with it. I mean, like no one ever told him he couldn't. And they were nice pajama pants. They were plaid. I think that's that's actually pretty common. In like small town Midwest for kids, boys and girls to wear fleece PJ pants to school because you got to stay warm, right?
Yeah.
But it's just so funny because when I look at their like fashion choices, it's really been such a non-choice.
Mm-hmm.
And now Clara's trying to kind of like have an aesthetic and a look, but like we talked about earlier, it's like she doesn't know how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious, do any of your kids have like a really specific look now? And you talked about the Billie Eilish look, which I witnessed.
Yes, you witnessed.
It is a thing.
And it's goes in line with that like 90s jeans look that with baggy. She has two baggy sweatshirts. And when you were saying the boys and like asking them to at least prove that they have a clean shirt underneath, like that's actually... Right. Allegra, I mean, it's going to be hot here the next few months, but otherwise she has two black hoodies that she just wears every day. And I know she does. She's pretty good about changing her clothes and showering. So I know she's clean underneath, but one wouldn't know to look at her because looks exactly the same. And some favorite pairs of jeans. And she also she spent her own money at the Nike store and got a pair of like, I guess they're like 90s looking Air Jordans. Like that's a thing too.
That is definitely a thing.
At the night.
Shoes are important.
Yeah. The sneakers are important. Of course, she's not playing basketball in them, but they are basketball shoes. And she got them, you know, she spent her own money at the outlet store. So she got a good deal. And I don't understand this look, but I don't expect to understand because I am not 13. So she cares. Reed does not really have a look other than just athletic. When you were talking about jeans, I was thinking none of my kids have ever wanted to wear jeans, but we've lived in places where you can get away with shorts and skirts or at least just soft pants, leggings for the girls and like athletic pants for the boys. So nobody's ever had to fight jeans with me, which is kind of a nice thing. Violet, does Violet have a specific look? Violet would like to have a specific look every day.
But like a different specific look?
It's different. She's incredibly intentional. She's already told me, we're recording this July 8th, and she's told me what she wants to wear on the first day of school. She thinks about her clothing in advance. And going back to like the preschool frustrations, a lot of her battles or frustrations weren't because I was demanding that she wear something. A lot of times it was that she wanted to wear something and then it wasn't comfortable. It didn't look the way she wanted. And she almost had these like internal battles. So she doesn't have a specific look. She wears a lot of cotton shorts or leggings and cute t-shirts. I mean, she looks like an 8-year-old. Sometimes she'll throw on a dress or a romper. Less and less, she likes dresses when she dresses up, but less and less everyday dresses. And just going back, that they wore a lot of uniforms for several years, they wore uniforms. So I think they're still kind of new at figuring out what their style is.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense because it's, again, going back to what we said before, they want to have a look. They just don't know yet how to make that come together. Right. And in my house, which is maybe not the same for everybody, in my house, like definitely Clara has more angst about that. There's just more options. She has so many more things to choose from. And she definitely has that like baggy jeans, oversized t-shirt, black hoodie, beanie. She doesn't wear the beanie all the time, but when she does, it's so cute. But like, gosh, I look at her and think, man, is this like 1992? I don't know what to do. I love it. I have to say right now, it's so funny. Owen has always been somebody who his accessory is the outfit. So he's somebody who will wear literally the same joggers, the same sweats, the same track pants, the same t-shirt, the same hoodie every single day. But for a long time, he wore really quirky socks.
Oh, that's fun.
And that was his look. And so he always had like knee-high. This was when he was probably like 10, 11. He had like knee-high socks. They were always fun. And like they always had some kind of a pattern. And that was great. Now he got a little like a trucker cap, I guess. It's like a baseball cap, but puffy on top.
Yeah,
it's not exactly a trucker cap because it doesn't exactly have the flat brim. And like it doesn't exactly have a baseball style. But it almost looks like something you'd wear to hacky sack. Okay. In the 90s.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
So he got one from his uncle, his dad's brother, and the brand is Bula, B-U-L-A, and it's like bright turquoise blue, and it has all these little people all over, like little drawings of people all over it. And his hair right now is ridiculous, but he's just been wearing that like over his ridiculously puffy hair that he will not let me take him to get cut. We should do an episode about that at some point. But anyway, his hair is just redonk. And he wears this vintage baseball cap over it. And he looks so cute. I just can't even handle it. It almost doesn't matter what he's wearing on the rest of his body.
Right.
He's now decided this is his look.
Yeah.
And when he doesn't wear it, I'm like, dude, you got to put the hat back on.
Yeah.
Because without the hat, your hair just looks dumb. But with the hat, it looks like a thing. Will, about a year ago, decided that he was into pastels. Like, he was really into, like, that sort of, I think it's a very California look, actually. It's, like, pastel t-shirts, pastel shorts, like, PacSun.
Mm-hmm.
That's his look right now, and he's really doubled down on it. So everything he wears is, like, pale pink or, like, a very, very light aqua or something like that.
Where does he shop for said pastels in St. Joe?
So, He doesn't locally. No, he has to buy it all online.
Yeah.
PacSun is one of the places. And maybe Hollister might be another one that has that look. I know he's got a couple go-to places that.
Do you have Tilly's there?
Oh, Tilly's. No, Tilly's. Yeah. We don't have it here, but I did buy him a bunch of stuff from Tilly's for Christmas. Yeah.
Yes. That would be, I mean, I don't know all of the local teenagers and mine is a relatively new teenager, but I think that would be. I don't know where all Tilly's are, but that is the place.
We definitely don't have one here. We might in like the next town over that has a real mall, but we just do our shopping online.
Yeah.
And he knows what he likes. So he just sends it to me and that's it. So yeah. So it's just kind of funny. Like they all have like, except for the older two who I feel like are still just wearing like
jeans and t-shirts
and t-shirts. Exactly.
So do you feel like, I'm going to ask you a question as like a mom of older teens, which I don't have. Do you feel like there are ever events or days where you are still like, hey guys, we're doing this today. We're seeing grandma or we're going to this restaurant, where you have to give them some parameters? Or I know it's been COVID for 2 years too. So has that not been a thing? Things. And how do they respond when, like you said, with Owen and the hat, like, how do they respond when you have to draw some kind of an appropriateness boundary?
Well, I will say Jacob, who is my oldest, and you'd think, you know, would be the one I wouldn't have to coach as much. He wears his clothes until they are literally falling apart. He loves the feel of a very, very soft khaki, like a really soft, but they're shredded. And so there's been times where I'm like, we're leaving the house. You have to put on one of your less comfortable pants. Like, I'm sorry. But for the most part, almost anything we do, their clothes are appropriate for.
Yeah.
Like even like church events, like if we were going to, I can't even remember the last time we were invited to like a wedding or a fancier party. And if we were, I would definitely have to like do some coaching and bossing and momming.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the stuff that they wear is fine for anything we'd be doing in this local area.
Yeah.
It's not the same as when they were little and I had to dress them up for a wedding. We just don't go to that many of those kinds of things anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you?
No, I mean, I can't, especially with COVID and our move, I can't think of any time. We did have family photos taken a couple months ago. And I just told everybody, look, I am going to decide what you're wearing. I will make sure that you're comfortable and that you feel good in your own skin. I'm not going to make you wear something like that you hate, but I'm also going to put the outfits together, period, end of story. Because how often do I do that? We don't get family photos taken every year by any means. It had been like 4 years and they were all great about it. I went to Old Navy and got really like affordable stuff for Reed because he's the one who needed kind of new stuff, just like a collared linen shirt and some nice shorts, like not athletic shorts. And then I shopped the girls' closets and I pulled it out and I said, this is what I'm going for. And then I let them bring like their signature. Violet has like a sequined bomber jacket and Allegra had her hoodie and her beanie. So I let them bring all that stuff and the photographer took some pictures with them in their classic like everyday looks, which I'm really glad that I did that. So, yeah, I mean, I haven't had to put my foot down, but I would. I just it would be very few and far between hills to die on at this point, I think, with me.
Yeah. And I feel like that's been the case since my kids have been older, whether it's because the events are changing or because they just have. The clothes that they wear just suit themselves, like just suit them to more occasions or something. Like maybe it's both, but that seems to not happen as much. So if you're struggling, if you're listening to this and struggling with like dressing your kids for these different occasions, I would say a lot of the time your circle will be going through certain events kind of around the same time as you. So maybe you've got a 2-year-old, but you still have friends who are just getting married, or you have friends having babies that have baptisms. Like those things happen in clusters.
Yes.
And then once you kind of move past that cluster, it doesn't happen for a long time. Like I can't even remember the last time I had a legit wedding invitation. I would love to go to a wedding.
I know.
Who's getting married? No one's getting married anymore. Like they're all done.
Just divorce.
just divorce. Which means there'll be remarriages, but you know, they're not as fancy. So it's fine. I don't regret that, but like there's just not as much of that kind of thing happening.
No, and it totally is regional and cultural too, because I know in some communities, bar and bat mitzvahs are like a whole new thing. And then you've got a bunch of 12 and 13 year olds who need to have their wardrobes ready and you've got quinceañeras and then we didn't talk about prom. Like your proms and stuff.
Yes. And my kids have gone to prom, but that's like a totally separate thing. That's
totally
like one
different.
Kid I have to get a tux for. That's different from like kind of what we were talking about.
Right.
So yes. Absolutely.
I'm just laughing. I know we have to wrap up, but I'm laughing when we were talking about this because we went to dinner just a week ago at the golf club where my parents golf. And it's not like a country club. It's not a place I went when I was a kid growing up here. They don't do a lot socially at this place. They just golf there. But we did go to dinner there and they have like a very old school dress code. And I was thinking, wow, that wasn't really an issue. And then I remembered Allegra was at camp. She wasn't there. And I was thinking, what would she have worn? I would have had to really look through her closet to find an appropriate outfit for this particular place. So it definitely will still be an issue. It just, I think with COVID, it hasn't been. But yeah, it's right. I'm not writing it off forever. We've all kind of forgotten
how that works.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, this was really fun. Before we wrap up, Megan, we have good news for those who love to see us pop into their podcast feeds unannounced, but we're going to announce it right now.
Yes. So you will hear from us for the next 3 days. We are doing a special 3-part series, and you're going to hear about feeding your little one, which I think is like something that we hear. Well, I don't just think, I know. We hear about this all the time from moms who are basically just trying to not be super controlling about food with their toddlers and young preschoolers, but want to make sure they eat nutritiously and healthfully.
Yeah.
And that's a big pain point. So we're really excited for this series.
Yeah, we're really excited. It's a big pain point, and it also changes constantly. And I think that's something that comes out when you hear the series, is like just when you've cracked the code on bottle feeding or breastfeeding or introducing solids, then it's like the next phase and the next phase and the next phase. And so this series really focuses on, I would say, older babies, young toddlers through preschoolers, which is just a time of a lot of parental stress around eating and feeding. So we're excited to be dropping that the next 3 days in a row. So make sure you're subscribed and make sure you have notifications turned on so that you can just be like, yay, new episode of the Mom Hour. Yay. 3 days in a row.
Yay!
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yes. And then I guess you won't hear from us after that till Tuesday. So wah, wah.
Wah, wah. All right. So look for that starting tomorrow, everyone. And Megan, I will talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.